We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We talked a lot about food. We talked a lot about food waste earlier today. And a couple of days ago, we talked to some folks on the package store side of the debate over wine and grocery stores. And obviously, we've talked about egg prices, too. And so it seems like a good time maybe to catch up with Wayne Pesch, president of the Connecticut Food Association. Wayne, Happy New Year. How are you?
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Very well. So does your group... Your grocery stores, correct?
Yes, traditional grocery stores.
So, obviously, you'd like to see wine sold in your stores, and I'm told the package store lobby is really strong. Like, how big an issue is this? How important is this piece of legislation for you this session?
Well, I think from a consumer standpoint, let's give consumers what they want. When you take the dogs out of the fight, you take the package stores out, you take the grocery stores out, and you ask residents of the state of Connecticut what they want, they would like the option to purchase wine where they purchase food, just like they do in 42 other states.
Right. And so why is it just because that lobby has been so strong, or is it like a holdover from the blue laws? Like, why is Connecticut one of eight that doesn't?
Well, I think the law is out of step with the times. It's a prohibition era law, right? And things don't, we are the land of steady habits here in the state of Connecticut. Things don't change quickly. You have a protected class of trade who doesn't want to give that up, and that's understandable. And you have grocery stores that are competing in a jungle of retail environment with online and convenience stores and club stores who need a product like wine to offer as a convenience for our consumers to keep our businesses viable as well.
Yeah. What do you think of the odds of it passing?
Well, I don't look that far ahead, Brian. There'll be a public hearing in the General Law Committee, and we will take our case there, and we'll see what happens there. So I don't like to get out in front of myself on where it's going this year. I do think it's a multi-year effort. If it doesn't happen this year, we'll be back, and we'll be back, and we'll be back. So this is one of those things where eventually you have to educate legislators to let them know that that this makes sense for Connecticut residents, and that the idea that these businesses are all going out of business is patently false.
Right. They do view it as an existential issue. And, but it was certainly from a margin standpoint, it would have you know, it's going to have an impact.
So let me give you the best example that I can give you. The state of Tennessee, which is very similar to Connecticut in the sense that they have a package store existence, and they had beer in grocery stores, but not wine. They passed a law to allow wine sales in grocery stores in 2016. From 2017 to 2023, there are 63 more package stores in the state of Tennessee than there were at the time when the law passed. We're all competing. We're all out there competing. It's a jungle in the retail environment. Put your chin strap up and join the game.
All right. There you go. Wayne Pesch, president of the Connecticut Food Association, joining us here on Brian & Company and WTIC News Talk 1080. You know, overall, have you noticed within your group, has inflation, before we get to eggs in general, have the inflationary pressures eased?
Well, they're getting better. They're getting better than they were, let's say, last August when we were seeing, month over month, 10 to 12% increases. I think I saw a stat recently last year that American consumers paid $4,500 more for groceries and fuel. So that was at the height. So it's getting better, but it's not fast enough for folks. People are changing. We've talked, Brian, you and I, about this. People are changing their shopping habits.
Yep.
They're eating more eggs. They're eating more pasta. Protein prices are coming down, which is a good thing. So I'm optimistic as we get into late spring and into the summer that things will start to get a little bit better for consumers.
Well, let's talk about, you mentioned eggs, and it's usually a pretty inexpensive product, a cheap source of protein, and people like them. And, you know, we've had people talk about prices doubling and this and that, even at the wholesale level, having, you know, incredibly high per egg prices that they haven't ever seen. There's a debate going on whether, we've talked about the avian thing that killed a bunch of birds, and we've talked about the potential for, you know, distributors to gouge. What's most responsible for this? Because it seems like there is a little bit of a leverage issue and some people taking advantage of pricing pressure.
Well, you know, consumers are pretty smart. What's happening right now is the free range and cage free and organic eggs are actually cheaper than the industrial farm eggs. And consumers are migrating to those. They'll find the best value on the shelf. They have not walked away from purchasing eggs. You know, penny for penny, at $5 a dozen, eggs are still the most valuable protein source in the world. There's a value there. We're just used to paying, you know, 99 cents to $1.99. Right now you're seeing, you know, the premium eggs, the Nature's Yolk and eggs like that out there at about $5. And the eggs that had been cheaper historically are actually more expensive. That will correct itself. But that's really, really has everything to do with this bird flu. Think about it. In those larger facilities, you have more birds that are closer together. So when that avian flu hits that facility, there's a lot of birds that have to come offline. It's kind of horrible what happens.
You think it's purely about a supply issue?
Oh, it's supply. I mean, yeah, it's real. I mean, the flu is real, and it, you know, it hits in different regions because we don't only get, we have large egg facilities in the state of Connecticut, but we pull eggs from Pennsylvania, we pull eggs from Massachusetts, we pull eggs from different states as well. And once the flu hits in one of those flocks, you lose that ability to pull from that particular supplier. So, yeah, it does have a lot to do with this avian flu.
We're talking with Wayne Pesch, president of Connecticut Food Association, here on Brian & Company. Well, about 2 minutes left. You know, we were talking, this is a bit of put you on the spot, and if you don't have a good answer, it's totally fine. But we were talking about food waste. And I might have asked you this in the past. I'm just curious, because I don't know what restaurants do. I don't know what other industries do, but when food expires in a grocery store, they just throw it out? Like, how does that system work with inventory?
Absolutely not. And I would love to come back and talk just about this subject with you. Connecticut grocers turned back almost 45,000 tons of food waste to anaerobic digestion. So there's nothing in a grocery store that goes in the garbage that can't be either composted, sent to a digester,
What is a digester?
So Southington, Connecticut has a digester where we send a lot of our food, but Stop and Shop also has their own digester where they take all of their food waste back, and that organic food waste goes into a slurry that is created. And it's turned into methane gas. It's pretty cool. I'd love to take you for a tour one day. If you'd like to see it in Southington, I can take you there. But we're turning our food waste into fuel in the grocery industry. Another reason why we should be able to sell wine, because, you know, we collect 800 million units of bottles and cans a year. We recycle that for the state of Connecticut. We turn our food waste into clean energy. We've eliminated plastic bags. We're wonderful corporate citizens. We deserve the opportunity to sell wine in grocery stores. And when you take the special interest out of this, folks want it anyway.
Well, we appreciate the time. You know, Wayne, I'm going to put you on hold, and Matt will give you my email. Shoot me a note, because I need to learn about this stuff, because I'm obviously pretty ignorant about it. And I appreciate you talking on all subjects today.
Yeah, we're all the way in, and I'd love to take you for the tour, Brian.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Have a great day. Hold on.
You as well.
Wayne Pesch, president of the Connecticut Food Association, joining us here on Brian and Company. I didn't know that. I mean, I always want to know. I mean, I think restaurants, it's more about composting and dealing with their distributors on that end. I didn't know that the grocers had, that was a big facility. Slurry sounds.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.